Bugle, audio newspaper for a visual world.
Hello, Buglers, and welcome to another special sub-Bugle to celebrate 15 years of the world's leading and only audio newspaper for a visual world. In this episode, I'll be talking with the person with whom I shared the Bugleverse for 8 years and almost 300 full episodes of this audio newspaper, the one and only John Oliver. Hello, John.
Hello, Andy. Hello, Buglers. What an honour it was to share the Bugle with you for 8 years, Andy. It was like being on an international space station, but on the ground and in two different countries. Honestly, metaphor fell apart instantly.
Right. But it's still one of the most moving things anyone's ever said to me, John. So I appreciate it.
It was just a sense of being in a very confined space. Does that make sense?
Just the remorseless futility and claustrophobia.
Yeah, the kind of aggressive silence occasionally. Yeah, that made you feel like you were truly alone in the universe. It's a glorious 8 years.
Well, I mean, I like to think that probably mirrored the aggressive silence we had at, for example, our Edinburgh preview in York.
I believe so. Yeah, I think I've had a lasting appreciation for the different kinds of silence due to the work that we were able to do live together. I think we can always tell this is an interested audience. This is an apathetic audience. This is a very angry audience, which is about to vocalise it.
And in the case
in York,
of...
I believe you had all three happening at once on different tables in York, I think.
unforgettably, of course, the space in Docklands.
Yes.
2004, the night England lost to Portugal on penalties in the European Championship.
Yes.
That was a silence very much caused by no one else being left in the room.
That's right.
After the entire audience had walked out.
What it was the most natural sound that room has ever produced. It was really just the walls that were emitting their kind of silence as our voices were echoed back from the flat surfaces in that room. Voices at that point saying, shall we still continue? At what point are we just entertaining each other? And of course, the answer to that was at all points.
And that was very much the joy of podcasting, was it gave
that's
a
right.
vehicle for people who could only entertain each other.
Exactly.
It removed
the problem contextualisation that an audience could provide.
So that was 2004. The Bugle came into being, if I've done my maths rightly, 2022 minus 15, in 2007. So let's go back in time. Let's leave the stats to me, John. Let's go back in time to 2007. Now, at that point, you had already left the United Kingdom to try and crack it as a goaltender in the NHL, if I remember correctly.
Indeed, that was the dream, yeah.
I was about to host the hit 12th series of Bar Mitzvah or Bust on the BBC. So, you know, our careers were in different positions than what they are now. I mean, what do you remember of your early time in America, those early Bugle episodes?
Let's not gloss over the fact that I don't think I can make it in the NHL now. I think the Bar Mitzvah or Bust dream, there's no need for that to be dead. That's as good an idea now as it was then, right?
Yep.
Sorry, what was the question? I was so hung up on Bar Mitzvah or Bust. And just what potentially that game show, if it is a game show, I don't know how you envisioned it, would involve. Reality show, game show, either you... Basically, you have your Bar Mitzvah or you renounce Judaism? I don't know what the Bust counts as in there. It's a good show. I'm already interested and you've not explained anything about it to me.
Well, I mean, you've been in television a long time, John. You know that a good title can be enough to take a show a very, very long way indeed.
That is true.
One of my earliest, one of my sort of strongest memories of the Bugle was our unbroadcast pilot episode. This was back in the Times Online days. And we had various people from the Times sitting in to see this new show was. And... Mm-hmm. You got stuck into Rupert Murdoch, who at that time basically, I mean, he was de facto owner of the Bugle, and you laid your cards very firmly on the table in episode zero.
I did that in the first one, did I?
Well, it wasn't even the first one, John. It was before the first one.
It's before the first one. Wow, that is a commitment to self-sabotage that, honestly, I'm part of me is proud of in retrospect. biting the hand that literally hasn't fed you yet. That's...
And, you know, the world that the Bugle came into, and when we started it, I think we had a 13-episode deal and
yes.
pretty much a blank canvas to
yes.
do whatever we wanted.
Yeah.
I mean, it pretty quickly degenerated into some, you know, fairly childish stuff about, you know, what dead people from history we fancied and things like that. But, I mean, the world in 2007, John, I mean, Britain had just had a new prime minister foisted on it in an undemocratic fashion. America was seriously ill at ease with itself and indeed the rest of the world. I mean, do you feel that the whole thing's just been f***ing pointless?
I mean, when you put it like that, right, I hadn't thought about it being pointless, but, you know, the futility is such an overwhelmingly convincing argument, to be honest. Yeah, I guess it's been a total waste of time. It's being the Bugle, the concept of laughter, and I guess life on Earth. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's
not
that's,
a lot to show for right. the last 15 years, humanity, other than England winning the Euros, the England women's team. That's, yeah. you know, that's that, something,
that's
right?
And Cricket World Cup as well. There was that.
Yeah.
Yep. And there was London 2012. I mean, it can't be coincidence that...
There was London 2012.
You left the country in 2006, and just 6 years later, we had a glorious Olympics.
That was great, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The Queen really enjoyed that, didn't she?
She did.
In her own way.
Yeah.
In her way of not visibly enjoying anything at all
that
happened in front of her face. Yeah. Are you allowed to say this kind of stuff anymore in England? Or is it still...
in the UK, I think I don't know. I think we're still because it can't say anything that might be interpreted as disrespectful to a monarch,
right.
however undisrespectful it is, until you've waited the same amount of time that they were on the throne.
Oh, so I see.
That's how it works. So we've still got to do another 70 odd years.
But oh wow!
Actually, say that.
That's the. Wow, there's going to be a lot of people really hanging in there on life support machines saying, I have something to say. It's going to be long and loud, and then I will depart.
But of course, I mean, as we heard in the very moving eulogies to the Queen, she didn't make the Olympics happen on her own. She built the stadium with her bare hands.
Mm-hmm.
She fired the starter pistol for all the races, and she played water polo as well.
She did. Right. And I believe the bronze medal in the decathlon, if I'm remembering that right.
You are remembering that right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing how...
Really f***ed up the javelin. That was the problem. She could have got gold, but, you know, kept fouling out on the javelin.
It's amazing how useful a crown is in the pole vault. You wouldn't have thought that, but it is.
You wouldn't... What? How did she use that? I can't remember that, Andy. Was she slinging it up there? How does that work? Like a grappling hook?
Because crowns have a magic force field, don't they?
And so, they do.
So
they
it was do. More that, I think, than anything else.
And that is why India can't have the Kohinoor diamond back, right? It's the the magic.
Yeah.
It's the best argument I've heard for that yet, to be honest.
I mean, in the 15 years since the Bugle started, John, you personally, in your role as America's voice of sanity and reason, have seen off the presidencies of George W. Bush, Barack Obama, and Donald Trump. Three out of three. You must be pretty proud of seeing them off.
Well, it's a hat-trick, isn't it?
Yeah.
Credit to term limits at the end of the day. You know, couldn't have done it without them. But, yeah, still, you know, a win's a win.
Yeah. And one thing that we didn't touch on in the Bugle, because it happened sort of in the middle of the regeneration period between you leaving to devote your life to the Lord Jesus and the Bugle being reborn.
Bomb is for a bus till I die.
The Bugle being reborn with non-John Oliver co-hosts.
Mm-hmm.
Brexit happened, and I mean, you've not really been back here much since then, have you? Even just, you know, just to...
No, I haven't.
To visit. I mean, what have you made of it from afar of Brex Britannia?
I mean, as we've discussed, as a fan of self-sabotage, I mean, Brexit really is absolutely... It's the gold standard, isn't it? It's basically a nation committing Harry Carey for no clear reason. Freedom, said Braveheart as he plunged a sword into his own stomach.
Lopped off his own nadgers.
I presume Andy, that it's going great, and that
Yeah, well, it's...
I mean, I saw something about the pound not being technically a currency anymore, but I'm sure that's just. I'm sure that's just growing pains.
That's a technicality because I haven't finished scrubbing off the Queen's face and drawing on the King Charles's face yet. So it's in a hiatus. So
that's nothing to do with Brexit.
I mean, Brexit.
That makes sense.
Whether or not it's a success very much depends on how you measure it. And if you measure it through things like facts and reality, then you could construct an argument that it's not worked. But if you just measure it by that intangible feeling of freedom that you can only get from slower border crossings and restriction on your freedom to move around your home continent, then I think it's been terrific. It's really opened up a lot of doors for us to slam in our own faces. Because you can't slam a door in your face unless the door has been opened. That's the thing, isn't it?
Well, that's profound.
Yep.
Andy, yeah. And yeah, I guess I've fallen into the trap sometimes of seeing it through the prism of, you know, what's happening and what that means. But obviously that's a mistake, isn't it? Sometimes it's better just to close your eyes and imagine things working instead.
Yeah, this is what I've constantly... All we need to make Brexit work is virtual reality headsets for every single person in the United Kingdom, and then we can just live in the reality we want.
It's like when a team goes 6-0 down before half-time. At half-time, you might want to just sit down and think, but are we 6-0 down? Or are we actually 6-0 up in a way? You know, not in any way that I can kind of back up, but, you know, in an alternate dimension, maybe this game's going well.
Yeah. Well, there's that to cling to, I suppose.
Yeah.
Talking now specifically about the Bugle and your many years on the Bugle, any particular highlights for you, but preferably not involving you naked in a hotel room?
I do remember that, Andy. I mean, look, that wasn't a high point for me. You could make a really strong case that I didn't need to bring it up. I think I was worried that you would be able to hear it in my voice. There was that innate sense of shame and defeat. So it felt like the least I could do was give you some context for that. That was certainly a major moment. I guess I have, I don't know if I'd call them positive memories, but getting to the end of pun runs, you always feel like... Like people who finish a marathon and say, I wish I hadn't done that, but I'm glad it's over. Right. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I see that.
I think when I first learnt about that giant penis being drawn on a roof,
that
was one of those moments where you think maybe there is a point in humanity and what we leave on the earth.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's those very deep moments of hope and optimism that come from, you know, unexpected sources. And for me, it was a kid drawing a penis on a roof and then never mentioning it to anybody.
Yeah. I guess we find the light in the darkness where we can.
Yeah.
We've had a number of emails sent in from Bugle listeners for this episode.
Oh dear.
So we'll just have a few of them now. This one has come from Adwait Deshmukh, who addresses Dear Hot Rod and Dragster.
Yep.
I can't
deep
remember.
Cut. Deep cut.
I can't even remember.
Doesn't matter. I'm sure there's a reason, and I'm sure if you spent 2 hours finding that reason out, it wouldn't make sense.
Adwait says, good to have you back together. Please keep coming back. It makes my ears feel good. You may be reassessing that after this episode. Over the last 15 years, do you think the world has become crazier, or has it always been this crazy? Are we moving towards a craziness singularity? That's getting very, very philosophical. I mean, we're on this sort of continuum of craziness.
You have to be careful, don't you? Because, you know, recency bias is a real thing. You know, you have people in America now saying America's never been more divided than it is at this point, which does, you know, rather emit the Civil War. that is Civil War erasure in its grossest form.
Civil War erasure was one of the most controversial electro-pop bands of the 1980s. As well.
oh yeah. Oh yeah, I have missed this. Yeah, it's the
got him.
I don't know if I can articulate what this is, but I've missed it very much.
Oh good, John. Thanks. I mean, I'm not sure if the world is it just revealing more of its
that could be true. I mean, I think It's hard to say, isn't it? I think one of the things that's most striking is the world seems to be forgetting some key moments in relatively recent history. Now, when you have the Marcos family back in power in the Philippines, and you have Franco appearing in commercials for the Spanish right and Little Miss Mussolini in Italy, it does feel like this flirtation with fascism does seem to be the beneficiary of maybe us forgetting or having the memory dulled over generations of exactly how bad it was. Right. So, yeah, we seem to be repeating mistakes that you're really not supposed to repeat.
Well, I mean, that's they keep saying that, don't they? Those who are ignorant of history are condemned to repeat
yes.
it. But really, the only thing we can learn from history, as I'm sure I've said on the show before, is that people will never, ever learn from history. So we need to just hold that lesson.
That's right.
Close to, I mean, do you think the fact that this flirtation with fascism, as you say, I mean, is this due to the fact that ordinary flirtation has now become socially much more complex and people are therefore flirting with discredited political philosophies instead? This is all the fault of Me Too, John.
That's a hot take, Andy. I guess you have become an old enough, white enough man that you say, you can't do anything in the workplace anymore.
And bear in mind, my workplace is my own shed with only me in it. I think I should know that.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's connected to the Me Too movement, Andy. But, right. History will be the judge, yes. right? And history's judgment will be something that, as you've said, we will not learn from in the moment. Yeah. So, if history makes a sound judgment and no one reads it, does that judgment make a sound?
That's right. I guess we'll just have to see what statues are being toppled in 150 years and work it out from there. This one came in from Rowley. Dear John, Andy and Chris, in order of time spent regretting playing blue-coloured animated characters in films. Oh, ouch. That's a deep
ouch.
Cut.
That's a solid deep cut. Hit. A palpable hit.
Chris couldn't be with us, so we've got Ped on the buttons. Buttons today. Rowley says, I've been listening to this podcast since I was 13. I'm now 22. What advice would you give to a young adult who's grown up on a pure diet of clean-cut bullshit washed down with the finest hogwash? Love the show, Rowley. So what do you think, and what would you say to someone who's spent 9 years listening to this garbage?
That's a good question, isn't it? Because you guess, like, to your point about not having an audience, just having the audience of each other, you don't really get to grapple with the consequences of the fact that people might be growing up on this. And I guess it really depends whether you think that bullshit has any protein in it. And I think you and I would fiercely argue yes, I think. But that is, of course, bullshit.
Yeah, that's a point very well made. Yes, a kind of... It's protein eating itself, essentially.
Yes.
But that's actually quite nutritious. Paul asks, hello, Andy and John. When you started this podcast, were you aware that you were, in fact, starting a new religion? That's interesting. Interesting to describe the Bugle as a religion. I guess that would make you, as someone who disappeared from it, very much the kind of messiah figure.
or some kind of false prophet.
Well, potato, potato.
Just don't want to be called Messiah, Andy. I know bad things can happen to messiahs, right?
Yeah. But guilty ones.
So I'm not the Messiah. Although,
not law-abiding.
Is that something a Messiah would say?
Right. Okay.
That's only you could be the judge. I wouldn't call it. I mean, as a religion, we're not tax exempt, right? And as far as I'm concerned, in America, that is what actually tells you whether you're a religion or not.
Right.
So, in that case, no.
Okay, right. So we're definitely not a religion, which is disappointing. If we were a religion, then we might have more sway on American politics, and ideally end up running the whole thing through a series of covert backhanded deals. So this came from Lee, who asks, 15 years, holy shit, I remember listening to the Bugle in high school. My question is simple. Do you both stand by your preferred hotties from history, Florence Nightingale and Joanna the Mad? Has any new hottie from history come in to steal your hearts, yours in inappropriate historical lust, Lee?
So, yeah, I'll die on the Joanna the Mad hill.
Yep.
Andy.
Yep.
No. Sure. She's... not going to be the easiest person to be around, but That enigmatic smile is going to drag you back in every time, as far as I'm concerned.
Going to drag you back in very much like she dragged the corpse of her dead husband around with her for many years after his death.
It's so hot, though, isn't it? honestly, I'm yet to see someone who takes that crown. Are you?
Right.
Have you stumbled upon someone?
No, I've been very faithful to Flo Nye over the years, and I don't see any reason to change that. I've been up, in fact, to the there's a little museum in London up by Waterloo, and I do now have a restriction order that preventing me from walking around that museum without trousers. So I feel that my love remains strong for the 19th century's hottest nurse.
It should be a Joanna the Mad Museum, Andy. where kids can drag a doll around and just bark at things.
Amongst the many emails that were sent in by people who subscribed to the Bugle email, Dean said, thank you for 15 years of world-class podcasting. I've been listening from the beginning. There are not many things which have remained such a constant in my life. And it really does mean so much to me. Thank you very much for that, Dean, and other similar messages. Joel asks, holy hell, I've been listening since day one. Honestly, it was You Guys Radio Lab and This American Life. It's a long time. I mean, podcasting, I don't think either of us have really heard of podcasting before.
I'd never listened to a podcast until we did one.
Right. My sister Helen had started hers earlier in the year, but I think we've now overtaken in terms of total episodes.
That's good.
Blasted out into the audioverse. Joel asks, when are you going to tour the southern USA again? Again is stretching it from, I think, I'm not sure if...
North Carolina, right?
Yes.
It was the north of the south.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, Joel asked, John, how many ties do you go through in a season? I assume he means a season of Last Week Tonight rather than baseball season or supporting the Mets, just tearing formal kit to pieces.
That's right. That's a good question. I think I repeat ties. Right. I'll be honest, I wear what is put out for me.
Right.
My input... That's
a risk, that is a very risky road to go down, John. That is the Ron Burgundy attitude to clothes.
I'm a sartorial Ron Burgundy. You put it down, I'm going to put it on. If it's in a pile, I'm putting it on my body. I'm not going to think it. I'm not going to internalise what it is. If you ask me after the show, what were you just wearing? I would not be able to tell you.
Andy also asked, Andy, your hair, what the f***? WTF. Oh, maybe you mean what the physics, which is really all it is, physics with a PH, not an F. I make no apologies for that. I've got more of it left than I thought I would at the age of 48, to be honest.
I was going to say, it's pretty the same, isn't it, Andy?
Yeah. It might be coming forward again, I think. Yeah, that could be a medical miracle. Wouldn't be the first for my people. Chad asks, John, have you done anything that we might have seen since you left the Bugle? If so, where can we find it? Was any of it on Quibi? Which I think might be a little dig at Nish Kumar, one of your successors, who's...
Really? Did he have a show on Quibi?
He did have a show on Quibi, and that show did not last.
Do you know that he had a show on Quibi, or did he say he had a show on Quibi, and it was impossible for anyone to prove him wrong? Because in a sense, everyone had a show on Quibi, and no one did.
Right.
Okay. That was the incredible thing about Quibi, wasn't it? It really made you... really challenged your sense of what exists and what doesn't.
So it's a kind of Schrodinger's TV channel, was it?
Yes, exactly. Right. That's exactly what it was. Right. I think the only thing on Quibi was a dead cat. That was just lots of 6-minute videos of dead cats.
But I think you've kept yourself pretty busy with all the
What have I done?
Broadway dancing stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the world's second favourite Zazu. That's not nothing, right?
Right. That's a big thing.
Number two.
I mean, how many
silver medal Zazu? That's what
I slightly lost track of the total, the final Smurf movie count. Are they still going? Or You're not allowed to say.
I think they're still going, Andy.
Right.
Now, is Vanity Smurf still going? I don't know. Again, I haven't seen those first two Smurf movies. But I don't know. Perhaps they've kind of worked out a kind of voice system where I can appear in it for the rest of time, you know, like they do when after people die.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think there are Smurf movies being made. I'm not making those Smurf movies, Andy. So I don't know what that means. In the you know, in the canon of the Smurf universe, I think I dip my toe in for two motion pictures.
Right.
Smurfs and then Smurfs 2.
Right.
First one in New York, second one in Paris.
Right.
I don't know. They might have gone to Bora Bora in the third one. I don't know.
And there were rumours a while ago, I saw, that there was going to be a Vanity Smurf adaptation of A Picture of Dorian Gray. Is that still on the cards?
Oh, it's so difficult for me to talk about this, Andy. It's going to be very expensive.
Right.
I love the script. I love the project. It's not suitable for children at all, which apparently is a problem. But I think if you're really going to tell the full horror of the Dorian Gray story, and I tried to inject some of that into my portrayal of Vanity Smurf, Andy, that sense of, you know, we're grappling with Narcissus in a way.
Yeah.
And so that was there, I believe, in my portrayal. Other people would say, no, you just made your voice slightly posher and a little bit higher.
But, I mean, that's...
Potato, potato.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's, you know, what is the art of acting, I guess, is...
That's right. Yeah.
Is...
It's reacting. And yeah. I was reacting to nobody because I was alone in the sound booth.
This question comes from Abra, who asks, do you think that Silvio Berlusconi has joined the coalition government in Italy in celebration of the Bugle's 15th anniversary? I mean, is it a touching tribute from former Bugle favourite Silvio?
It's only a question that Silvio can answer, right?
I guess so. And, he's got to look deep within that withered heart of his to see if...
Yeah, he seems like a man who's not afraid of introspection.
Yeah.
Who's to say? I guess ask him.
All right.
Somebody should ask him.
Well, we live
and then
on the,
just,
We live on the same continent, so I'll put feelers out. What
just
would
open
he,
your window and yell.
She also asks, what would each of you like as a birthday present for the Bugle from Silvio Berlusconi? And bear in mind, he could basically pinch anything in Italy. What would you...
Best birthday present I ever got, Andy, was a whole Edam cheese as a kid. So I'd like that.
Right.
I couldn't believe it. The whole thing, round, Edam cheese. Right. The whole thing.
I wanted it.
I got it, and I was glad that I got it.
Right.
I've never forgotten just the feeling of wax all the way around, thinking, I cannot believe I have this cheese.
Right.
All of it.
That's obviously...
A whole Edam cheese. I know what you're picturing in your head. I worry that you're picturing a quarter of an Edam cheese or an Edam cheese, and that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying a whole Edam. A whole
and
Edam.
And so how
cheese.
Old were you at this point? I mean, it must have been sort of the size of your head, wasn't it?
I think it might have been bigger. I think I was 7 years old. That's all.
Yep. Right.
Oh, it's amazing.
I mean, cheese is
probably an Edam cheese.
Yeah. I mean, it's a huge part of everyone's life, cheese. I've had Chris Addison on a few times on the Bugle, and we were reminiscing a while ago about his wedding when you amongst others, goaded me at about 3 a.m. into eating a chunk of brie that was inadvisably big.
It was. I mean, a chunk is just not the right descriptor, Andy, because I think when people picture a chunk of brie, they're not picturing what you ate, which is... Yeah, you're right. It's medically unsound. A doctor would say, Andy, you can do this, but you shouldn't. And there are going to be ramifications here. It was absolutely spectacular. It was a lovely wedding, I imagine. I've forgotten a great deal of it. I do remember you eating that cheese.
Yes.
Because I remember crying with laughter. Like tears, a wet face. Not like one tear, like no distinguishable tears because they were streaming. As I watched you eat, swallow, and then struggle. And basically fully immersed in a brie sweat.
That's the way I would have wanted to go, albeit that I survived. Finally, Keith emailed in saying, "Hey, the boys are back in town."
That is how you open an email, Keith. Doesn't matter where you go from there, you have my full attention.
Congratulations to Andy on 15 years of unrelenting bullshit, and commiserations to the bastard who defected. Splitter, look what you could have won. I mean, that's true. If you'd stuck with the Bugle, you too could be doing cricket stats on the radio during the summer. But anyway, Keith had a question. What subject, John, in the past umpteen years, by umpteen I think he means seven or so since you stopped doing the Bugle, would you have wanted to cover on the Bugle more than on your own show? What thing have you, do you think you'd have...
What a great question.
Yeah.
I guess it's something that you want to be able to slow down for to give it more time and attention than the subject deserves. That would be the metric I would consider there.
Right. This is a very long pause for...
Audio. Well, I'm really engaging in the question. It was a good question.
Right. I think you've been doing telly too long, John. That's very much a non-audio-friendly length of gap.
There was a British family that terrorised New Zealand for a week. Do you remember that? It was like British kids who were just on the loose, just...
Oh, yeah, vaguely.
Terrorising New Zealand. Yeah. I remember thinking that would be great to talk about for 2 hours.
Right. A metaphor for modern Britain.
Exactly.
And Keith himself suggested he thought it would probably have been Boris Johnson that you'd have liked to talk
no, because I talked about that. We talked about Boris Johnson on the show here, but to a sense, it's a little law of diminishing returns. It's the same thing with Trump, right? It's so superficially absurd. It's hard to find anything meaningful underneath it.
He was Prime Minister for a justifiably pitiful short amount of time, just under 3 years. But it was between you leaving the UK and Boris Johnson becoming Prime Minister, that was about 13 years. I mean, do you think it would have been worth just going anywhere for 16 years to avoid being in Britain whilst Boris Johnson was Prime, even if that had been on your own naked in Antarctica? Would you have taken that just to not be here for those 3 years?
I think so. And the thing that would have keep you going in the, you know, the darkness of an Arctic winter, you know, the unforgiving tundra ahead of you, the wind howling and your only friend to some extent, it would be having to remind yourself it could be worse. I could be living in a country suffering under Boris Johnson's impetuous, pseudo-charismatic decisions.
Well, I think you made the right call there, John. Well, that brings us to the end of our audience Q&A. Do come back on in 15 years' time for the 30th anniversary.
I'm sure the world will be going great by then, Andy. Yep. it really feels to me like the world's about to turn it around. Really feel like all the chess pieces are in the right position for an attack now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like that, like Bob Dylan said in that song, they say the darkest hour is right before the dawn. I mean, it's turned out that the darkest hour is generally just before an equally or darker hour, often more full of shit. But I mean, I think, you know, his point doesn't stand. But let's pretend that it does stand. There may be better times around the corner.
Maybe. History suggests otherwise, but we don't pay any attention to that, Andy.
We don't. I think if the Bugle has done one thing through its own history, ironically, it's been to ignore history, and we will continue historically ignoring history for as long as history allows us to make history.
Mm-hmm.
John, it's been an absolute pleasure.
History will be our judge, Andy. And it's wearing a silly wig and a hammer, and everyone's laughing at it.
It's been a pleasure having you back on.
Pleasure. Gentlemen, it's been an honour playing with you.
Thanks for your contribution to the last 15 years.